Our healthiest patients seem to have this sense of purpose. And we observed it to the point that we actually started to include it on our intake forms. And it was a conversation we had with all of our patients. They would come in and on that, as part of that intake, and we got really good at segueing to it. It was like, tell me about this notion of purpose in life. Do you feel like you have it? Do you identify with it? How do you feel when I ask the question? And it was really interesting to start to see where people went with it.
This is the Entrepology Podcast. The podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So if you're just joining us and haven't been hanging out with us for the last few weeks, then you are going to catch us right at the tail end of a three-part mini-series all about mindset. And if you've been part of the last two conversations, you know we have been building up to this third episode. And today we're going to be talking all about purpose. And not in the, like, I have a hard time talking about this sometimes because I want to ground this idea of purpose in science. I want to ground this idea of purpose in something bigger than what happens to me where I get these sort of flighty connotations with it. We're going to unpack purpose today, not just from a, oh, it'd be really nice if you could live your life and follow your purpose, but we're going to unpack purpose as a physiological prerequisite to good health. We're going to talk about why it is that I'm just so passionate about this. And honestly, I feel like as a clinician, I kind of stumbled upon this as like the secret sauce of longevity and recovery and good health. And leading up to this, what we talked about in the last two episodes are really starting to, how do we manage our overwhelm? How do we start to focus our thoughts? How do we let go of limitations that are holding us back? So once we have some of those pieces in place, and even if we've just laid the foundation with respect to language, stepping in and starting to unpack purpose is a natural segue, at least for me. See, purpose has really become this piece that I have become incredibly passionate about speaking to on other podcasts and other platforms. And it was in part because we stumbled upon this observation in practice. And the observation was this, is when we started to really unpack and try to understand who amongst our patient population did really well, who was it who would recover, regardless of really why they came in, but would recover and not necessarily go back to how they had been when they first walked through the door. They weren't having these conditions that sort of what we call wax and wane, where they came on and then they went away again. What were the characteristics of those people who got well and stayed well? And there were numerous things that we observed, but one of the most fundamental ones, and this was so interesting because this was irrespective of socioeconomic background, was someone's capacity to articulate that incorporated into their life was a sense of purpose. Now, we then took this even a step further, not just someone who could put up their hand and yeah, I feel like I have purpose in my life. We really started to plant it down and really understand the criteria of what constituted strong purpose. Because I also observed there were people who identified as having purpose in their life, but didn't necessarily follow our trajectory of recovery. So those became patients that I was really curious about understanding. And what we found about those individuals is while they identified as having a purpose-filled life or having purpose in their life, it wasn't necessarily, and wait for it, their purpose. It was an applied purpose. It was something they were good at. It was something that they did. It was a utility that they served within their family, but it wasn't personal. And so what I want to talk about today is the difference between a purpose that is thrust upon you and a purpose that comes from within. Because if we're really going to look at the science, and if we're really going to start to divulge and get into the characteristics of purpose that lend themselves to recovery and to longevity and to reduce reduced anxiety and like so many other incredible side effects really of investing in this element of yourself. We need to understand what constitutes this purpose. And I'm going to give you examples on both sides of the spectrum. And I'm going to give you examples too of where some of my patients thought that they were living a life of purpose. But when we unpacked it, what we discovered is that it was an externalized and applied purpose. And so I really want to give you some examples of what that looks like. So first of all, when we talk about purpose, and let's just back up here for 1 second. I want you to understand that I'm talking about a very specific criteria here. And what's so interesting about purpose is we kind of use the word loosely, and I made this association at the beginning that sometimes it has this sort of flighty association. But when we look at other languages actually have words for purpose that have a much stronger and definitive meaning. And one of the definitions and one of the words I want to call your attention to is a Japanese word called ikigai. And ikigai really, I think, actually is a better definition of what I'm talking about when I talk about purpose. And so it's the confluence of a few different factors at play. And this is what we observed with our patients as well. But if you were to draw this as a Venn diagram, if you were to take four circles and sort of overlap the four of them, the overlap of these four circles in the middle, this really is sort of the golden nugget of purpose. And we can apply other layers to it. But for the purposes of round one, this is what I want you to focus on. So the very first circle that I want you to draw, if you've got a piece of paper or just mentally in your mind, is a circle where what we start to do is really understand the things that you are good at. And people always ask me, they're like, well, how do we start to find our purpose? I'm telling you right now, this is how we do it. You're going to literally start to write these things down, and we're going to find the overlap amongst them. But the first thing I want you to start to focus on is what you are actually good at. So some of our natural acumens, the things that we just have a natural tendency towards being able to do, things we have a knack for. Often these are things that are just so easy for us. We don't think of them as special talents. People are often telling us, oh, you're so good at X, Y, or Z, and you kind of assume everyone is good at that. Those are sort of the characteristics of skills that lend themselves really well to purpose. So what are some of those things for you? Is it speaking? Is it writing? Is it that you just have like really strong EQ and empathetic capacities? What are the things that you are good at? And this is not a time to hold back. No one is going to want to look at this list. This is all you all the time. I want you to write it down. What are you really good at? The next circle I want you to do this directly below what you are good at. And we're going to do another version of this so we can start to organize it a little bit better. But these two circles can overlap, but this goes directly below. These are things you love. So sometimes we're really good at stuff and we don't love it. And again, you've got to be honest with yourself about what those things are. What are some of the things that you love? So you may have written things at the top that you're really good at. Maybe you're a really good runner. I love how Andre Agassi talks about this in his autobiography. He was exceptional at tennis, but didn't love it. So when we talk about purpose, we need to have this confluence of things you are good at and things you actually love to do. And when I say love to do, I want you to just have one consideration in mind. There's certain things that I really love to do. I really love to speak. No surprise, I've got a podcast. I love to speak. It doesn't mean it doesn't scare me. So I want you to think about that too. There's probably some things you're really good at. There's probably some things you really love. And there might be some things you're like, oh, if I just worked on this, I actually would probably love this too. Like, I just need to get over that hump. So I want you to really distinguish here when we talk about love, like you love it or actually, if you got better at it, you really could learn to love it. And I want you to leave out of this circle the things you're like, yeah, I'm super good at them, but if I'm really honest, I don't love to do it. So I want you to put circle the top things you're good at, circle the bottom things you love. And then we're going to draw a circle to the right. And again, it's going to overlap with the first two that we did. And here's what we're going to talk about. When we look at the things you're good at and the things you love to do, which of those things are actually useful? Useful to you? But as importantly, could be useful to other people. So is it something that's useful to your kids? Is it something that's useful to other people's kids? Is this something that is, what is the utility of the confluence of those skills? I want you to start to just brainstorm some of those things in our circle to the right, and this is looking at usefulness. And then segueing directly off of that usefulness, I want you to start to think about which of these things could actually start to earn you income. And this is where we take a step away from sort of the personal side of purpose to how is it that we can take our purpose in life and actually make a living out of it? How could we turn it into the basis of our entrepreneurial journey? What role could it play in a broader sense here? This is where we need to take the things that are useful and actually go, okay, among those useful things, what are things other people would pay for? So you may be really good at, I'm in my podcast studio near my laundry room, so I'm going to just go with this. You may be really good at folding laundry. This is going on a very, very gender biased wormhole, but we're there now. So just roll with me and don't send me a hate mail. You may be really, really good at folding laundry. I'm actually quite exceptional at it. And I don't love it. So it's not going to go in my thing at the bottom, but it's something that I'm really good at. But if you loved folding laundry, you could put it down in that love section. And if that folding laundry was useful, sure, it's totally useful to your family, right? And if we were looking at taking that utility piece and wondering whether or not it would be something that could lend itself for income, sure, if you wanted to fold laundry outside your home, you could make a whole business of it. This is ironic because I did actually have a cottage cleaning business at one point in my career. So I'm telling you, this was part of my journey. I was living my purpose, but it wasn't my only purpose in life. So I moved on. But that's how you would do this exercise. So that you can take that utility, you can jump it over to income. And that's where we start to understand, do I have a business here? And I'll share some examples. I've had the opportunity to speak to a few people in the last few weeks about businesses. The world has changed, right? People are looking at coming back in a different way. And this is the framework that I'll often take people through, because people will say, I had an amazing conversation with someone and she's like, I'm really good at making recipes, like really good at tasting food, turning into a recipe, doing something awesome. I was like, amazing. And she's like, and I love it. Like I'm not loving what I was doing in my career before, but I really love that. And I was like, check, check in my mind. And then the check was, is it useful? Well, yeah, that's totally useful, right? Like I'm not good necessarily at coming up with recipes. I love to cook, but quantifying what I do in the kitchen is a near impossibility for me. So is what she's doing useful? Absolutely it is. So we've got check, check, check. So far, this is fulfilling a state of purpose in her life. It's useful for people beyond her. And then we need to make that jump over. Well, can you earn an income from it? And this is where we really need to have, when you're trying to understand before, why do we have a useful circle and an income circle? This is why. Because if we're going to actually monetize on our purpose, we need to be able to move to the income side. And for this person I was speaking to in the iteration and where she was at in her exploration of this idea to that point, there was just no clear path to monetization. There's no clear path to paying for recipes. We can go to Google and get a million free recipes. So it's really hard to set that up as a business proposition people are willing to pay for. But I wanted to use that as an example because it's an excellent way of taking the system and really understanding, can I start to turn my purpose into something I do with my life? So for her, what it means, we just needed to go back to the drawing board and we need to come up with a few different solutions. We need to package it a little bit differently. We need to look at how we take that recipe piece and apply a new level of utility to it. And here's the thing, and this is why I'm so passionate about it. So we observe this in our practice. Our healthiest patients seem to have this sense of purpose. And we observed it to the point that we actually started to include it on our intake forms. And it was a conversation we had with all of our patients. They would come in and on that, as part of that intake, and we got really good at segueing to it. It was like, tell me about this notion of purpose in life. Do you feel like you have it? Do you identify with it? How do you feel when I ask the question? And it was really interesting to start to see where people went with it. Some people had never been asked the question before in their life. Sometimes you'd ask the question and people would start to cry, that we'd even give them space and room to acknowledge the need for purpose in their life. And other people were bang on. They knew exactly what it was and they were living their mission. And we knew those individuals just about always were the ones who were going to get well without question. And when we started to see these very distinct relationships happening, this is where I was like, okay, this can't just be us. Like other people must have been talking about it. And the reality was when I went to the literature, people were. And here's what's so cool about this notion of purpose is that across multiple disciplines and systems within the body, what we saw is that people who could articulate and identify a sense of purpose in their life, this is the type of thing that we saw. We saw decreased incidence of heart disease. We saw increased recovery with respect to stroke. We saw decreased incidence of stroke later in life for individuals who had had previous heart attacks. This is the biggest risk factor, right? When you had one cardiovascular event that you're going to have another one, it was a 72% reduction in that risk. There is not a pharmaceutical on the planet that can claim that kind of risk reduction with respect to heart disease. But it isn't just the cardiovascular system. We saw it with respect to the nervous system. We saw it with respect to anxiety and depression. Both were significantly decreased. Increased recovery with respect to cancers. That's a broad topic. We can unpack that separately. Increase longevity. So we start to look at commonalities around the blue zones in the world. What we're seeing, people are living longer when they identify a sense of purpose. Increased recovery with autoimmune disorders. This notion of purpose, and this is why I say it is a prerequisite to health and health performance in my mind, is not just the lovely title of a journal or a really cool self-help book. In my mind, it actually forms the foundation of health. And if we're going to start to talk about the evolution of health and the optimization of health, and we can talk all day about awesome supplements and red light therapy and cool gadgets and 40 years of Zen, but if people don't have a sense of purpose in their life, I believe that all of those things are a waste of money. And the coolest thing about this is that it is free to pursue your purpose. Well, free financially, but there's a lot of different pieces that go into it. And the mechanism of this, people are not necessarily sure of. They don't know what the physiology is behind it, but what they do see is that there is some blunting of cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. And when we can start to blunt cortisol, we can start to blunt inflammation. And when we look at all of these conditions, one of the things that they all have in common is that they are accelerated with inflammation. So part of the theory around this purpose piece is that it's actually an anti-inflammatory. Look at that. How cool is that? Purpose is an anti-inflammatory as far as we can start to tell. So this is something in an individual's life that I'm incredibly passionate about implementing it. And so I started to give you a framework at the beginning where we were drawing a series of circles, and your purpose really is the confluence of what you're good at, what you love, what's useful, and if you want to monetize it, whether or not you can earn an income from it. That's where we find purpose in the middle. But I also want to talk about some of the prerequisites that need to be in place in your life in order for you to start to pursue this piece. Because in my experience, and in particular with women, and I told you already, I'm going to talk about how we sometimes are led astray on this. There's some key steps that actually need to be in place in order for us to have room for the pursuit of purpose. And the pursuit of purpose needs to be something. It needs to start by being something personal. And I'll share a story. I was delivering a keynote talk last year, and I was talking about the physiology of purpose. In fact, the epigenetics of purpose, which is how it interacts with your DNA, which is also super cool. And I stood in front of this room, and there was probably 250 women in the room. We talked about purpose, and someone said, "How do we start?" And I looked at them and I said, "You have to start the pursuit. The pursuit of purpose requires first that you have permission to do it." And so I just want all of you to know in the room, this is what I said when I was giving this talk, I just want all of you to know in this room that I am giving each and every one of you permission to pursue your purpose. And I didn't intend for it to be any other thing other than an acknowledgement of this individual's question and a continuance of that statement. And what was so fascinating was to just watch all of these eyes looking back at me and these tears well up in these women's eyes. And then as they all looked at each other, everyone started crying, and then I started crying, and then the whole room was crying. And the thing that really struck me is someone put up their hand and they said, "I was told my whole life that my purpose was to get married and support my kids." And she's like, "But I know in my heart that's not it." And someone else put up their hand and they're like, "I was told my whole life that my purpose was to do the same thing. And I've been fighting this internal conflict all the way through. I love my kids, but I know that they are not part of they're not my life purpose." And she's like, "And I always felt so guilty about that. I didn't know what to do with it." And so I want to stop everybody here before we talk about this notion of permission and this misappropriation of purpose, because I mentioned in the beginning, purpose has to come from the inside. And I want to acknowledge the permission. One, I'm telling all of you, you have permission to pursue this. And I want you to also be really aware of the messaging you've received your whole life that has given you or not given you permission to pursue this purpose. And I also then deeper want to address this notion of kids. I've got three kids, and what they are to me in my relationship of purpose, they are verticals in which I am able to allow my purpose to shine. So one of the components of purpose in my life is to act as an enabler of entrepreneurs, act as an enabler of people to pursue what it is that they are supposed to be pursuing. And so as a parent, that is exactly the framework and foundation that I actively provide for my children. My purpose in life is not to make their bed and buy their groceries and do their dinner. I have to do all those things because that's my responsibility as a parent, but it's not my purpose. My purpose is to help shine a light for my kids as to all of the things that they could be in this world and to provide them with all of those opportunities. They are just another avenue in which my purpose can shine. And so I really wanted to address that because I know, and I found this in my practice, that the messaging that we have received and who and how we've been told to be from the perspective of purpose dictates where so many of us are at. So I am giving all of you permission to step back, acknowledge those things in your life that are your responsibilities, and not necessarily package them in the same box as your purpose. So when we talk about the pursuit of purpose and even the exercise of the circles that I addressed at the beginning, there's a few other things that need to be in place. And I want to talk about those. I call these the four P's of purpose, and we need to have them before you are able to do the exercise that we talked about above. So the very first P in the four P's is permission. And so I'm giving that to all of you right now. You all have permission to pursue your own purpose. I don't care if you're 80 years old. I don't care if you're 20 years old. Any of you have permission to pursue this, but that's where it has to start. The next piece is it has to be personal. So the second P is personal. It has to be internalized. It has to come from the inside. Your purpose is not bestowed upon you. Your purpose comes from within. So purpose is not coming from a place of duty. Purpose comes from the other way around. So you need permission and you need to know that this is personal. The next thing you need to do is the third P is place. And by place, I mean you need time and space. You literally need a place within your day and within all of the things that you are doing in order to start to pursue this. This is why when we give resources out around the pursuit of purpose, the first thing that we teach people to do is to prioritize their time. So this is a resource that we shared in last week's podcast and we'll also include it in the show notes this week. We call it the Entrepology Time System. And this is how we really start to categorize your day. So you've got your responsibility pieces, but you've also got those pieces and room in your life to pursue and work on your purpose. So you need permission, it needs to be personal, you need the place to do it, and it must be a priority. Here's the thing, and this is where we get to be a little bit flighty. This is where we get to pull in the energetics, and I just don't care. I'm just going to do it anyways because it's my podcast. And this is what we have to make it a priority. So where you put your energy and intention, you are going to find that things start to accelerate. That is how you're going to be able to achieve momentum. And when I started to really feel what my purpose was, and it's really sort of a physiological feeling that I get, but when I'm really aware that I'm in the flow around what my purpose is and I'm living my purpose, when I put more energy into that space, more opportunities to pursue my purpose and monetize on my purpose become available to me. And when I move off of that, when I'm out of alignment with what I'm supposed to do, it feels like a struggle. It feels like a constant push. And so for me, part of my exercise every morning is that, and this doesn't take long, it takes like 5 minutes. I sit down, I plan my day, but I really orient my day around the pursuit of that purpose. I really orient my hiring and my team and the work that my team does so that they're working towards their state of purpose, but I am definitely not working on things that keep me that aren't in alignment with the things that I am best at. This is one of the privileges of pursuing this for a longer period of time is once you have more clarity, more flow and momentum, you're able to delegate out this way. But the key point here is that no matter what stage you are at in the pursuit of purpose, you are making it a priority. So the four P's of purpose: permission, personal, place, and priority. These are the things that need to be in place for you to start to pursue the purpose that's sitting in front of you. So I know we've talked about a lot of things, but one of the one of the gifts of this time where we've been at home, where we've had an opportunity to contemplate. Sometimes it's come by locking yourself in a closet because there's so many kids in your house. At least that's for me. There has really been an opportunity for contemplation. And I think what's come out of it is a lot of people not wanting to go back and pursue the life they were pursuing before, but to really make a profound shift. And so one of the options I want to throw on the table for you is creating some space and some time to really see if you can start to unlock what your purpose is, to see if this moment in time and in your life is an opportunity for you to shift gears. For you, and I've used this analogy before, to come into the station on one train and have the opportunity to step off and step on to the next. So I can talk about this all day long. I'd love to keep this conversation going. If you are so inclined to start to unpack some of these ideas and want to hang around with other women who are pursuing purpose and pursuing a life intentionally, I'd really encourage you to come and hang out with us in our free Facebook group. It's called the Anthropology Collective. And this is where we create free resources and opportunities and discussion groups and all sorts of cool stuff related to the pursuit of anthropology, which is the mindset, the physical health, and the business of entrepreneurs and go-getters. And purpose is a founding piece of how we do that. So thank you so much, everyone, for hanging out with us for these last three episodes in our mindset mini-series. We've got some cool topics coming up for you over the next few weeks, some mindset shifting pieces around sales, tactics for business, and then we're going to get into some really neat pieces of health. So thank you, everyone, for being here. We will see you in the Anthropology Collective. The Anthropology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Anthropology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Anthropology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Anthropology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place. And that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there.